June 13, 2017, City of Daytona Beach Special Magistrate Proceedings. At the outset, I've reviewed, approved, and executed the minutes of May 9, 2017. Do you have any announcements before we start this morning's proceedings?
Yes, sir, Mr. Felger. We do have a couple of cases that are... First, I'd like to acknowledge for the addendum to the agenda. It should actually say Lien Review 2 instead of Lien Review 1, but we do have an addition of a lien review that was added since the final agenda went out. We do have a couple of cases that are going to be withdrawn by staff. On page 5, number 19. Number 20 will be withdrawn. On page 6, number 25. Number 27. Number 28. On page 7, number 30. I believe that is all that we have.
Very good. Well, the representatives of the City of Daytona Beach will be testifying at this morning's proceedings. Please step forward and be sworn.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony thus provided, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing
but the truth? Yes. With that, we'll proceed with our first case. This is a lien review, 733 Mulberry Street, Grover J. Desert.
Good morning, Your Honor.
Good morning. State your name and be sworn.
Michael Alvarez.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony thus provided, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
This is a request for a lien review for a matter that started back in 2014. Ouch. Order of non-compliance ended September 2014. Order imposing fine November 2014. Property was brought into compliance May 30, 2007. So I understand it. There's a total lien of $15,000. All right, let's say Mr. Desert.
Actually, this is Mr. Alvarez.
Mr. Alvarez.
Well, I took over the property. It was sold by the city, so the liens were already there. I bought the property, and I started fixing it up, and now it's up to compliance. And it's very updated, and went through Matthews, cleared it all up again. It's in good shape right now.
And did you ever broach the topic of the lien with the city as far as what they might be willing to do if you were to improve the property?
Well, yes. Yeah. But right now, it's. I think they can. I don't understand the question.
Where there was a lien on the property?
Yes, yes.
And I was just curious. Before getting involved in the property, did you speak with the city as far as the lien? And
No. At that moment in time, I saw it was on sale. I bought the property. After a while, I realized that it had a bunch of liens when I started to get a clear title for it. I realized there was a bunch of liens on it. But I'd already been working on the house, and I just called up and found out what were the other requirements to be done, and I did them.
What's in the city?
Good morning, Mr. Vakelge, Anthony Jackson, attorney for the City of Daytona Beach. Mr. Vakelge, first, one clarification. The property was a tax deed purchase, not purchase from the city. And, of course, with a tax deed purchase, there is some aspect of a benefit of the bargain. The city acknowledges that this owner, Mr. Alvarez, when he took over the property, he did a lot of work, and the property looks wonderful, according to the inspector, Mike Fitzgerald. The city is only looking for recovery of this reasonable cost, and we're asking for it to be reduced to $1,500, acknowledging the work of this purchaser once he obtained the property.
Okay, Mr. Alvarez, to that. The city's proposing to reduce it to $1,500.
It's fine with me, Your Honor.
Okay, very good. We appreciate the effort. At the same time, the city and this neighborhood was subjected to your predecessor. So, unfortunately, you inherit a few of his sins, not the big ones, just the little ones. So, that having been said, I'll go ahead and order that the amount of the lien be reduced to some $1,500, subject to being paid within 30 days. If it's not paid within 30 days, then the lien amount stays where it is. And if you have any problem making that 30-day cutoff, if you'll speak with the city, I'm sure they'll work with you on that.
Thank you, Jan.
Very good. We appreciate the effort you put into making this house nice. Thank you. I don't think we don't appreciate it. All right. You have a good day. Lien review number two, Theodore E. Keelmich. New owner, U.S. Bank National Association.
Geraldine Westfall.
Raise your right hand. Do you tell me to swear or affirm that the testimony you have provided is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Name again?
Jerry Westfall.
Okay, in this instance, U.S. Bank reacquired this property by foreclosure?
Correct.
And when did that
happen? About 5 months ago, 6 months ago. The owner passed away, so it took a while for us to get it because there were no heirs.
Certificate of title was issued February 14th, 2017.
Thanks.
All right, this matter goes back to 2013. Mm-hmm. Order of not compliance January 2014. Order imposing fine February 2014. Dorothy E. Keel. All right, the amount of the fine is now, the lien is $28,905.83. And what is the basis for the reduction that you see?
These pretty much the same as the previous person that was up here. We were not the cause of the issues. We inherited the issues via foreclosure, and as soon as we inherited it, we started working with Mr. Stenson and cleaning it all up. And we are in compliance now. We have a really difficult time with this house because the owner passed away, so it's full of personal property. He went to the hospital and everything she owned is still in the house. So we have continuing break-ins. We have done an eviction for personal property. It will be completed June 15th, and I'm hoping that once we can empty out the house, people will stop breaking in. But even since we put the house in compliance, we've had three people break in the broken windows again to continue to steal, and we keep fixing them. So, because we can't board them up. So, hopefully when we get all this stuff out, this will stop. But everything on the list is in compliance.
Was the property in foreclosure prior to the owner passing away?
I don't know. They don't give me that information.
All right, we'll save the city.
Mr. Kelger, the circumstance is similar, but obviously not the same. Of course, the mortgage company had powers to possibly do things that could have motivated this a little bit more. But in any sense, the position of the city is that they did do these improvements. It was a substantial lien. The city's asking for it to be reduced to the amount of $2,000. Agreeing that they did get to work on it and they have remedied the problems. So the city's request is a reduction down to $2,000.
Okay, I don't understand. Is this property in compliance now or not?
Yes, it is.
into that swimming pool?
Yes. And it had two, as you may have noticed in the report, it had two liens that maxed, and I'm sure the pool was included as part of the problem.
So you're talking about wiping out both these liens for $2,000?
That's the position of the city, yes.
We're saying it's West Fall to that.
We would love that.
That sounds very reasonable. Thank you.
All right, then, with that stipulation of the city as well as the respondent, I will reduce the amount of the lien to the sum of $2,000, subject to being paid within 30 days. If it's not paid within 30 days, the amount of the lien remains the same. If there's some delay in getting that 30-day payment, please contact the city attorney's office.
I'll
work.
I'll pay it for
all right, thank you very much, and good luck to you.
Thank you.
Next case, James and Jacqueline Faye Davis.
That's the compliance.
Thank you. Craig Carter. Please state your name this morning.
Kyla Carter.
Raise your right hand.
Please
do solemnly swear or affirm
that
the testimony you're about to provide
is
the truth, the whole truth,
and
nothing but the truth.
I do.
Thank you. All right, we are here for the determination of the progress report that you find. So I guess I will ask you for your progress report, first of all.
Well, since we last met, my father's financial situation has changed quite a bit dramatically. So, as such, the plan for addressing these violations has changed as well. The repairs are no longer feasible, so ultimately the goal is to have the property demolished once I'm able to secure power of attorney and have the property transferred over into my name, which is something that I'm working on currently.
Well, that doesn't sound like progress. Let's say the city.
I've been in communication with her attorney, who's informed us that they've been working exactly as she expressed on this matter of getting the property in her name so that she can move forward and take care of these violations. The main thing that we...
Is her demolition?
Well, that's one foundational issue. Like I said, his financial situation has changed.
His financial situation has changed such that vast majority of his income, save about $100 a month, is going to the nursing home at which he is currently a resident. That leaves no money to do any of the repairs. So that is the only way that these code violations will no longer be an issue at this juncture. So that is
what's your game plan for the house?
Well, like I said, I'm working on a quit clean deed. I have my attorney with whom he had been in contact, looking over the documents so that I can have them filed hopefully this week and work on getting that done by the next time there is a magistrate meeting.
Work on getting what done?
The demolition.
Okay.
Because as I said, that's the only way that these violations will cease to exist at this juncture, because there's no money to do any of the repairs.
Mr. City Attorney, let's say the city.
Mr. Calder, while respondent, or at least the daughter responded, is expressing her intent to demolish, we've had some discussion of the need for some assistance with that through some of the programs that the city has available, and the inspector, based on those conversations, would believe that it's probably going to take about 3 months or so to have all of this remedied, 3 to 4 months. And so that's the, as far as the compliance date, that's what the suggestion of the inspector, Jerry McCoy, is, that we allow the several months for her to move forward in this plan for demolition through the assistance of the city program to redevelop. I think that hasn't been explored in full on in how much time it really will take. It's something that I think is newly discussed.
Okay, in the meantime, is this property secured?
I'd have to look to the inspector, Mr. McCoy.
Jerome McCoy, Neighborhood Service Inspector. My credentials are on file. The property is not secured. There's squatters, as we say, that's inside the property, and that's one of the issues with the owners, that they have to get those people out and before they could do anything to the property as is, whether it's repairs or demo. They have to get those people out of there, and it's wide open. It's not secure because the people that's inside, they can't secure it.
Well, the reason I ask is we don't usually entertain a 3 or 4 month hiatus in any activity without at least being satisfied that the property is secure to city standards and the exterior is being maintained. I haven't heard anybody suggest that yet. And you're basically telling me it's probably not going to happen. And he's probably standing there because this is a police issue, I suspect.
We've had some calls there. Sorry. Yes, sir, that's correct. Just an inquiry. Have you started or inquired about the eviction process?
Well, that's what I'm working on because the property is currently not in my name, and I'm working on getting it transferred into my name so that I can do that.
Understood. But yes, it is an issue, sir, with us.
And I've called.
All right, folks, let's put your heads together and figure this out. I'm not going to leave this thing there rot in that neighborhood. None of us doing anything for 4 months. So start telling me what we're planning on doing here. The first thing you've just heard from the police department is I guess he needs to fill out paperwork so that you can trespass anyone that's found on the premises.
Yes, sir. Yes, we'd love to get her on the trespass arrest program, but we got to have the right person sign up for it. If she's legally able to sign up for it, that'd be great.
And that brings us back to your quick claim deed.
Yes, sir.
First thing we got to do is get a quick claim deed. And the next thing we got to do is get over to the police department and fill out that paperwork so we can at least try to trespass anyone who's on the property wrongfully, which apparently at this point in time is probably everyone other than you.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And that's what I...
the plan as far as securing the property?
Well, that's what I intend to do. I have a friend of my father's who is willing to help me, you know, board up the windows and help take care of that until I'm able to get the demolition done. But I myself have actually called Daytona Beach Police regarding the people at the property, and that's how I found out that I was not able to do anything about them being there without this course of action, which is why this is where I've landed.
Okay, does the property have any value as a practical matter?
As a practical matter, no.
So you don't realistically or reasonably anticipate being able to do something with it that'll generate any kind of equity with which you could either improve it, profit off it, what have you?
Well, as I said, my dad has no money to do that. All of his income is going to the nursing home because initially the plan was to use the money that he was getting from his VA disability pension to help address some of these issues. That money is no longer available as it's going almost in its entirety to the nursing home.
So demolition is inevitable?
Yes.
Mr. McCouch, if I can just clarify one other issue, at least my understanding from the inspector is that while we're describing the occupants as squatters, they were residents or at least friends of the father.
Yes, he allowed them to stay there, which is why they have to be legally evicted.
So the trespass paperwork that we're talking about won't be effective as to them?
Won't be effective. I'm sorry.
Yes, that's correct. That would be based on that description. That's correct.
Okay, so the squatters we talked about were actually former tenants who are holding over, as they say?
They would have a tenancy definition. They were authorized residents.
Correct. There's no formal lease agreement between them and my dad. He just allowed them to stay there.
Authorized residents.
That's a good one.
I'm going to have to come back to law school for an extra day for that one. Authorized residents.
So that's what I was hoping to address with the quick claim.
Okay. And then We're supposed to be here for a compliance day. I don't feel like doing that because I think we need to keep this, with all due respect, on a relatively short leash until we get a few things squared away.
Absolutely.
So I'm going to continue this matter as far as the determination of compliance day to our next meeting. Because I'm hoping in the next meeting what I'm going to hear is that these authorized residents are either gone or at least eviction proceedings have been started.
Yes, sir.
Which would necessarily entail, of course, you having your quitclaim deed, which would allow you to do that.
Yes, sir.
And as far as any non-authorized residents who may be there or about the property or stumbling on or across the property, then to whatever extent the police department's trespass programs of assistance, then I would expect you to follow through with that.
Yes, sir.
And I will tell you, for whatever it's worth, that in the interim, the property is supposed to be secured to city standards. And, of course, we would like to make sure that there's no criminal activity going on.
Is there...
Are you in communication with these authorized residents?
No, I don't even know them.
Is this relationship adversarial or cordial?
With me or with my dad?
With you.
With me?
You're the only one around right now.
Well, with me, I don't know them, and quite frankly, I haven't been on the property since he's been a resident at the nursing home or in the hospital because of, you know, just my safety. I don't feel safe.
You don't want to go down there, do you?
No. So, that, as far as securing the property, that is also something that I would like to, you know, coordinate with the Daytona Beach Police Department. Because, like I said, I've been in contact with them. Just, you know, in an attempt to get the not quite so squatting squatters.
Are you local?
I live in Orlando, but
right.
I can be here.
All right, then we will continue the determination of compliance to our July 11, 2017 meeting. And then, like I say, in the interim, what I'm hoping, or at least, what I'm hoping...
Is that in your order?
Pardon?
As part of your order?
Yes, I'm going to go ahead and order that the determination of compliance be continued to July 11, 2017. And I don't know that I can order you to get a quitclaim deed, or I don't know that I can order you to commence eviction proceedings, but I sure hope that's what you're reporting back, that those things are in process.
That is precisely my intent, sir.
Very good. All right. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
And by all means, I would consult with the police department.
Absolutely.
As far as any relief or assistance they can provide you, given the circumstances.
Thank you.
Good luck to you. Case number 3, Kinsey Whalen. Anyone here for the respondent? Let's say the city.
Mr. Kelter, this is before you for imposition of a fine. The inspector reports that he's had no contact with the respondent since the last meeting. There's no new progress. Respondent does have a business tax receipt, but other than that, he hasn't moved forward with the rental license. The inspector is recommending a fine of $150 per day to a maximum of $15,000. And again, the inspector is Jerome McCoy, and I turn to Mr. McCoy if you have any factual questions.
Mr.
McCoy.
As of my knowledge, sir, I can't say that it is. I haven't heard since the last meeting. I haven't heard a thing from the owner. I've gone by the property at different times. I haven't seen any activity in there, but I don't know for certain whether there's people living inside. And I can see that there has been no repairs done to the property.
Well, that's because one of the violations is electrical system hazards. And if the place is unoccupied, that might mean a little less to me. If it is occupied, it might mean a lot more to me. And did I understand you to say, Mr. Jackson, did I understand you to say he has a business tax receipt?
Yes.
All right, so we've knocked that off the list. Okay. And you've had no contact with him?
Not since the last meeting. He came in, I gave him my information, and still haven't heard anything from him.
we're dealing with on this property? What's the cap?
$15,000.
I'm going to find the respondent sum of $100 per day, commencing June 8, 2017, and continuing each day and continuing to accrue each day thereafter until the property is in compliance or the amount of the fine is reached to sum of $15,000. Whichever refers first. Okay. Case number 4, Vernal Johnson and Patricia Roper.
Good morning. Good morning, Bernard Johnson. Bernard Johnson.
Mercedes.
Mercedes, my wife.
Can you raise your right hand, please? You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you must provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Thank you.
All right, folks, this matter is here for the imposition of a fine. So with that, let's hear what our city attorney has to say and why he thinks I ought to fine you folks. Other than the fact that the property is not in compliance.
Mr. Kelter, the inspector reports that the respondents had done some work and that they did have some tenant problems. The intent was to ask for a fine, but I think some of the information has changed, so I'd have to look to the inspector, Mr. McCoy, and ask him to... or take a moment, and if I could take another moment with Mr. McCoy and see what if he maintains the same recommendation. If I can, just a minute.
Well, let's hear from Mr. McCoy. Sounds pretty well spoken to me.
Jerome McCoy again.
What's the situation?
Well, most of the work has been completed in the inside, yes. There's still some minor issues. Weather stripping and some outlets that need to be covered, but as far as the counter issue with the that they had to replace, I mean, that's been taken care of. Majority of it is taken care of.
Okay, and I hear a reference to tenant problems.
The tenant, well, they were having problems getting in. That was the slowdown on the work being done, because whenever they call her and set up a time for them to go in, she was not there. Even as I showed up sometimes, that she wasn't there. So
was this a tenant-driven complaint by any chance?
It was a tenant-driven complaint, yes.
Tenant-driven complaint, tenants
yes.
Not showing up?
Yeah. Right, but eventually she showed up through communication through me that she was able to start allowing them to get inside.
Okay, so it sounds as though we had some genuine effort by the respondent.
Yes, yes.
So what is it? Is it just a matter of more time to wrap it up?
Next cutoff, yes.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, Mr. Johnson, what say you? Our inspector is reasonably satisfied with your effort. He's indicated you've had some interference with your tenant.
Yeah.
He says most of the work has been done, and whatever is left to be done, he thinks you ought to be able to finish by our next cutoff. Our next cutoff is July 5th, 2017. How does that sound to you?
That sounds good, sir.
So, you going to get it done?
Yes, sir.
Done with the tenant,
yeah.
With cooperating?
Yeah. Right. No, she started coming around. At first, she was giving a lot of problems, but she started to work a little with us,
good.
So we're doing better.
Good. Glad. I'm happy to hear that. All right. I will amend our current order of noncompliance to allow the respondent until July 5, 2017, to come into compliance, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of $1,000 per day. Good luck to you. Do not forget to call Mr. McCoy for your final inspection when you're done with everything.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Have a good day. Case number 5, Faye R. Smith. Anyone here for the respondent? Let's say the city.
Mr. Kelger, this is before you for imposition of a fine. The inspector is Cliff Reconzone. Mr. Reconzone reports that he's had no contact with the respondent, but there is someone there at the residence, or based on the observations he's made. He's asking for $100. The property remains in noncompliance. He's asking for a $100 fine, $100 per day fine, to a maximum of $10,000. And I turn to Mr. Reconzone if you have any factual inquiries.
Okay, Mr. Reconzone, have you ever spoken to this respondent?
No, no contact at all. The only reason I know that somebody's living there is because all the mail is going to that house. All the mail is going to that house. They're signing for their green cards.
Okay. All right. Well, that being the case, I will find the respondent based upon our inspector's report, noting the absence of the respondent. I will find the respondent sum of $100 per day, commencing June 8, 2017, and continuing to accrue each day thereafter until the property is in conformance, or the amount of the fine has reached the sum of $10,000, whichever occurs first. Okay. Case number 6. Nicholas J. and Amy Militello. Warren, you would please state your name and be sworn.
Nicholas Militello.
Do you agree this violation existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes.
All right, then we're going to respond to noncompliance. Mr. City Attorney, what is the city suggesting as far as the amount of time required to meet compliance?
Yes, that's sure. The city's asking for next cutoff. I spoke with the inspector. He says they should be able to be in compliance by the next cutoff.
Okay. All right, Mr. Militello, the city is suggesting you ought to be able to get this done by July 5, 2017. What say you to that?
Yes, I corrected it already, sir.
Okay, very good. What was the outside storage, just out of curiosity?
Well, I had a remodeling, put an addition on my house, and I had some material outside. Okay. But then I got a stop work order. I had a reinstate permit, which I did on the 25th. And then that left me 2 days to come compliant. But I had to go out of town for a few days. So I didn't have it when he came back for the reinspection.
That's a long time.
Yeah. But it is now.
Yes, sir. Okay. I will order the response to come compliant by July 5, 2017, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of fine up to $1,000 per day thereafter. All right. Good luck to you.
Okay.
As soon as it's in compliance, contact your inspector, because it's not done until he does his final inspection and puts a notice of compliance in the file.
Yes, sir.
All right. Good luck to you.
Thanks.
Case number 7, Daniel Condon.
Do you take anything, sir?
Daniel Condon.
Can you raise your right hand? You saw the chair or front of the testimony you have provided, which is a good use of nothing but the test?
Thank you. Just a second.
Is this a letter from you?
Yes, it is.
Well, I just ask you about it. Yeah. All right. Do you agree this violation existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes, sir.
All right. Then I find the respondent noncompliance. Mr. Attorney, how much time is the city suggesting or proposing to come into compliance?
Mr. Kelty, the inspector reports that for the moment that the property is now in compliance, he's removed the fence, he's hanging on to the materials. The inspector does have some concerns that he may get back at action without the permit, so he didn't want a finding of noncompliance. But other than that, there's no other action at this time because the property is in compliance.
Okay. All right.
I'm going to dismantle all the bricks and do what the city requires to
build a fence. You didn't have a permit? Is there some reason why you can't get a permit?
It required us, well, and that's what that letter is, he's expressing, that it required a survey. He says he doesn't have the funds right now to get the survey. The inspector just thought he was a little misleading to him. I mean, the best description I can give. And so the inspector is incompetent right now without at least a finding of noncompliance. That finding's been made. So there's nothing else that the inspector is seeking.
They wanted $300 for a survey to build a fence. I've been having problems with transients wanting them at my property, and this is my first property. I just moved down here to Florida, so it's a learning process for me as well. And I just started with some leftover bricks, started building some pillars. I was going to put some vinyl fencing I found on Craigslist in between to keep the transients off. And I did. I got a letter from the city, and I told Mr. Conrazone that I would comply, and I kind of dragged my feet on it to go down and get the permit. The last letter I got, I went straight down to the city the next day and was trying to get the permit. They said I need a survey, which is $300. I couldn't do it, so I decided just to dismantle the columns. The front yard, and
how long is it going to take you to grow up $300?
Well, it's kind of tight right now. It's been tight trying to settle in. So,
how long is that permit good for once he gets it? Once he gets that permit, doesn't that mean he can also leave his construction materials there during the course of construction?
Yes, so but it's 6 months. That's correct.
So I've filled in some blanks for you to help make it.
Thank you, and I apologize to the city. Excuse me.
Well, my point is you might want to revisit the permit issue because the next thing they're going to do is start citing you for having the outside storage of whatever your...
All right. All right.
So you may want to revisit that permit issue.
It was a tough day to get them out there that one day, so I'm going to take them all the way to the back and probably dismantle all the bricks, period. So.
All right.
And I'll be glad to donate to the city if that'll help.
Well, before we go overboard here, I don't know why you're not getting a permit and finishing your fence. Your permit's good for 6 months. You've got the materials. And without the permit, now you're susceptible to being cited for unlawful outside storage because your building materials are sitting there with no building taking place.
Yes, sir.
Anyway, I'm not here to give you advice.
I get the picture, and I appreciate the advice, too. And
okay. All right. Well, in any event, having found the respondent in noncompliance based upon the city's report, I now find the respondent to be in compliance. So with that, I presume that concludes this matter.
That's right. That's correct.
Congratulations. Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Case number 8, JNG Property Group, LLC, is in compliance. Case number 9, GEA Seaside Investments, Incorporated. Anyone here for the respondent? Okay, counselor, correct? You here on behalf of the GEAC side?
Yes, Your Honor.
All right, please note, and it's Mr. Osborne, I believe?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. All right, so note Mr. Osborne's appearance on behalf of the respondent, GEA. I assume you're here on behalf of the GEAC side, correct?
Yes, Your Honor.
I want to keep speaking for you. All right, failure to obtain required residential rental license. Does the respondent agree that he was in noncompliance at or about the time this notice of violation was served upon?
What property are we? Are we going to go, Your Honor, through each property? Because I know there's a lot of properties on the list. Are we going to go property by property?
Well, for starters, I'm starting on 316 Butler Boulevard, and if I see or somebody tells me that we can consolidate some or a chunk of these, then I'll be happy to hear that. But as it stands right now, we're on 316 Butler Boulevard.
And, And my question to the city, Your Honor, would be on each of these, on when doing these rental inspections, they have to either they still have to comply with the Fourth Amendment. So there has to either be a signed notice from the tenant or a signed release from us. And that's not including the properties that we've applied for the licenses. We actually have signed as a company that they can come onto the property. So I'd ask, do you have a written notice? What evidence do you have to allege that this place is being used as a rental?
Hey, first off, counsel, with all due respect, you're not going to be cross-examining.
Yes, yes, Your Honor. I apologize.
If you get into an evidentiary hearing, you may very well be, but we're not.
Yes, yes, Your Honor. I apologize.
Now, the only thing I've asked is whether or not you concur that the property was in compliance or non-compliance.
I do not. I do not concur. I do
not concur. No. All right. Very good. And Mr. Jackson, what does the city say with regard to non-compliance?
Mr. Kelzer, as to case number 9, which was SMG 051733, the property at 316 Butler Boulevard, that's for finding of compliance and non-compliance. The inspector is Juan Davis, and the inspector reports that the property remains in non-compliance, needing a rental license.
Okay, before we go any further, because we have a number of these, what does that mean? Failure to obtain required residential rental license? And I don't care who answers. I just want to make sure we're all on the same page, because we have a number of these.
Article 4, Section 26 of the city's Land Development Code, Section 26294, says that this license required. It shall be unlawful to rent or lease or offer to rent or lease any residential rental unit without a current residential rental license for the unit, a copy of which shall be posted or available at the residential rental property.
Okay. Right. Well, right now we're on 316, so...
The city would offer that...
Let me ask you something. Counselor, did your client obtain... Does your client agree he's required to obtain a residential rental license?
Yes, Your Honor. We're in the process. We had just got awarded our first license, and we're in the process of obtaining other licenses for other properties.
Well, that begs the next question. So we're in agreement. He knows he's supposed to have a residential rental license. Are we also in agreement that he failed to obtain them? Or, well, let's just focus on 316 Butler right now.
Our contention, Your Honor, is what just because he has the property does not mean he's renting it out. Some of these properties are vacant. So our contention is on the city to prove that these properties are actually being used as a rental property, because not all these properties are housing tenants. So we would ask the city what evidence do they have to support that this is a residential property being used for residential purposes with tenants.
As opposed to a residence owned by GEA Seaside Investments Incorporated that is occupied?
Yes, that or is vacant and is not being used as a rental.
Well, there's no vacant. I mean, vacant, just because you're vacant doesn't mean you're allowed to sit and deteriorate. So my point is, somebody's going to be maintaining the property, either as a home or a rental unit.
Or as an asset for a company.
Even if it's an asset, it's a residential structure, so consequently it's either a home or it's a rental unit, and it has to be maintained.
And
so my point is, as we go through these, is it going to be your contention, well, not all of these are rental properties, GEA lives there?
No, Your Honor. My contention would be not all these properties have tenants in them, and our contention is that the state needs, or the city needs, to prove that these are actually being used as rental properties. It's not our position to incriminate ourselves, to subject ourselves to liens. It is the city's job to show that these improve. I know I'm not sure if it's a preponderance of the evidence standard, but it is their job to prove that these are being used as rental properties, and they're not just vacant, which some of these properties are not housing anyone. They're just assets that are just sitting there, and that is our stance, Your Honor.
You're not contending GEA is living in multiple single-family homes?
I'm not contending that. I'm contending that a lot of the properties do not have tenants. They're not being used as rental properties, so they do not have to have rental inspection licenses.
Your
I'm sorry, Mr. Fakelja, I would like to hand you ordinances so you have them for your reference. I think there's a copy there.
Yes, thank you. Please, as well.
My reference to them was to the very first one on that page. On that page.
I'm sorry, the...
And as I understand your exception, Counselor, you're calling these, instead of rental properties or homes, you're calling them assets.
Yes, Your Honor, and I'm not, and we're not saying that they won't be used for rental properties in the future, but the ones that are vacant, we do not feel like they should have to have licenses if there's no tenants, and we haven't decided if they're going to be sold, because just because there's a property vacant doesn't mean it has to be used for a rental license. It can also be sold to another investor. So when the properties are vacant, when they do not have a tenant in them, it is our contention that we do not need a rental license because they're not being used for rental purposes. And it would be my contention that the state needs to prove that these properties are not the state. The city needs to prove that these places are rental properties. I feel like that is at least the minimum of their burden.
Is it your contention that because they're vacant property, the owner has no obligation to maintain them?
No, Your Honor. Our contention is that they don't have to apply for a license to maintain them.
All right. Go ahead, Mr. Jackson.
Ms. Fakelja specifically asked to 316 Butler. The property has had a business tax receipt that indicated it as rental property since 2008. Since 2007, which has been continuously renewed as rental property. The inspector, we're a little bit ahead of the game as we start talking about the point of whether they're in compliance right now, which I think is part of what Mr. Osborne, is that correct? Yeah, Mr. Osborne is really expressing whether he's in compliance or not. The point is that at the time when they were cited, they were in non-compliance. On 316 Butler, that property was posted for rent. As you see, if it's the ordinance requires that if it's being rented or being held out for rent, advertised for rent, then it's a rental property by definition. So the contention of the city is that the property was in non-compliance at the time that it was cited. And we have no knowledge of it not being in that circumstance having changed, even if it's vacant, if indeed he's maintaining his business tax receipt as a rental property and he's holding it out for rent.
Your Honor, and we would just ask the city for any evidence that this place, they said that this place was advertised for rent. Do they have any evidence to show that?
Besides, in lieu of the business tax receipt.
Because I'm acknowledging there was a business tax receipt?
No, I would like to see that as well for 2016, a renewed business tax receipt showing that this place is a rental. I would ask the city to produce that as well.
Do you have any testimony you want to put on with regard to the matters that you're talking to in addition to what you're telling me?
Yes, Ms. Fakelja, I would call this officer. Officer Luanda Davis, who is the officer, inspector handling this, who will give you sworn testimony to that effect.
What was the question again?
No question yet.
Circulating around a business tax receipt, what proof there is that there was a business tax receipt in the past. Anyway, that was just the last question. In any event, counselor here is disputing that these are residential rental units. So let's say the city, with regard to his contention, that these aren't residential rental units, these are just vacant properties.
On the cases that we withdraw, we did that because we didn't have proof that they were being rented. But all 29, I've done a computer research on the BTs, which we included the dates, and they're all current.
They're all current. What does that mean?
Their business tax receipts been paid for a single-family rental or multifamily rentals.
And for the benefit of those who may be listening, what is a business tax receipt?
It's used to be called an occupational license.
What is it?
It allows you to operate a business within the city limits for a variety of things.
When it comes to residential properties, in this instance, would be
a rental property, correct?
And so you're telling me all the property, this property in particular, not to get ahead of ourselves, but the others that are still on the agenda, you're telling me you have a history of business tax receipts that haven't been obtained?
That's correct, and they're past, paid, and current at this particular time.
Okay. Counselor, do you want to question her?
Do you have the business tax receipts to show me the current business tax receipt for 316 Butler Boulevard showing me? I guess it would be, would the current one be 2017?
No, I don't have all the current ones here. I have produced them at a later date.
You can have your computer search?
Yes.
You saw these things for yourself?
That's correct.
Okay, and these are records maintained by the city of Daytona?
Yes, it is.
Specifically, records as they pertain to each of the properties that are listed here?
Yes, sir.
And you've been put under oath?
Yes.
You're testifying to that right now?
That's correct.
Okay, anything else?
And you're testifying that these all, every single one of these properties has current 2016 tax receipts for rental, every 29 of these?
That's correct.
All right, well, let's just focus on one at a time before we bite off more than we can chew.
Okay.
I'm just interested in 316. So okay. For 316, we're satisfied. You've seen the business tax receipt, and you're here to testify to it of your own personal knowledge.
That's correct. It's been current.
And so testified under record.
Yes.
Okay. And you've already explained the purpose of the business tax receipt. Okay. I find the respondent in non-compliance. How long is it going to take to come into compliance?
We will apply for the license immediately.
That's okay. I wasn't asking you about it. Sorry. Mr. Jackson.
Mr.
I found the respondent to be in non-compliance. The next question is, with regard to failure to obtain a rental license, how much time should reasonably be required in order to come into compliance? And for your information, I'm dealing with each of these on an individual basis.
Yes, sir. One of the things that the city has looked at in terms of the time to comply, we believe that they can reasonably comply within 60 days with all properties. This one individual property, I know what you're saying. You just asked me for the one property. As to this one property, 316, it can be complied with within the next, by the next cutoff.
All right. Mr. Osborne, the city says you ought to be able to come into compliance with this property by the next cutoff. The next cutoff is July 5, 2017. What say you to that?
Your Honor, we've actually gone through the process of applying for one of these licenses. We were just awarded our first license, and the process is quite onerous, and it's not just putting in new screens. It's also pulling permits and then getting finalized permits and then having the code inspector come out there and check and make sure all the fire alarms. It is an onerous process. We want to get in compliance. We would just ask for some time. Just give us some time to get in compliance. Give us some time to get contractors over there to do it the right way, pull permits, and get the inspector over there and get these licenses.
Okay, well, you, like the council here, are thinking globally. It may take you one day to come into compliance on 316 Butler. It may take you 30 days. It may take you 60 days.
Yes, Your Honor.
Are you able to tell me right now what has to be done to come into compliance on 316 Butler Boulevard such that you're able to suggest to me a reasonable time to come into compliance? And if so, what would that be and why?
I am, Your Honor. I'm actually familiar with the checklist, the rental inspection checklist that the code inspector takes to each property. We could get in compliance, I feel, with this property, worst case scenario, 60 days. And that's just
60 days, that means we've got two compliance dates we're looking at. As we use the nomenclature 30 days, that actually means July 5, 2017. Although today is already the, what, 13th. If we're talking 60 days, that's actually August 2, 2017. So when we keep throwing around the term 30 days, 60 days, it's not a true 30 days.
Yes, yes, sir.
Not a true 60 days. And just for the topic of conversation, beyond 60 days, we're looking at September 6, 2017. So you're telling me you've seen the list of requirements that have to be satisfied, and you're suggesting 60 days should be required. Are you telling me 60 days, or are you telling me August 2, 2017?
I'm telling you the actual 60 days, which would push it out to September. And that just includes pulling the permits. The part that's most time-consuming is pulling the permits and then getting a finalized copy from and calling the building department and getting the finalized and then bringing that over, because that's what we had to show with the one that we've been granted. It just was time-consuming with the permits.
Is this property occupied at present?
I am not aware, Your Honor.
Is this property occupied?
The inspector reports that this property is not occupied. You asked us not to speak global, but there is the concern that there are some occupied properties that we wanted to prioritize, yes, versus non-occupied. We have 14, it's 15 now, 15 that are occupied, and of the remaining cases, I understand. Just clarifying.
316 Butler Boulevard. Have we seen this list of things that has to be done to come into compliance?
We have not been able to do an inspection at all on this property.
So you don't know what it has to be.
That's correct.
So you haven't given them a list of things to be done to come in.
That is the issue. They have not applied for the rental for us to go in. They did a public records request for our checklist that I will be bringing when he applies for the rental. So nothing's been done at this property.
List of things to inspect.
Correct.
All right, well, then we have another void to fill here. So you need to get in to do your inspections.
That's correct. They need to apply for the rental license, pay for the inspection, and then call for the inspection. So I can get in and give them a punch list of what needs to be corrected.
Okay, well, let's back up and let's re-educate me again.
Okay.
So as far as this failure to obtain required residential rental license, what I'm hearing is the first thing he needs to do is apply.
Correct.
And that's mandatory.
That is correct.
Okay. He needs to apply, and then with that, you conduct an inspection.
That is correct. Then with consent from either the tenant or the owner if the property is vacant.
Okay. And then with that, you conduct an inspection, and then you get in the laundry list of things that has to be done.
That is correct.
So I understand that with all these properties, well,
you're on the right track. With all of those properties, that needs to be done.
Process that has to be followed.
Correct, and it has not been done. Well, five of the properties, they have applied for the application, paid for the fee, but they have yet called for the inspection. The remaining ones, we have no application whatsoever.
So we're just stabbing in the dark when we start talking about time coming to compliance.
Yes, sir. And we would like to address the ones that are occupied because we're getting complaints from the current tenants.
Hopefully I can understand that too.
Your Honor, if I may.
How quickly are you prepared to conduct your inspections?
Our staff will make ourselves available. I'm ready tomorrow if need be. And I have several other inspectors that we can spread it out and to accommodate them.
Okay, and am I correct in saying if they're not applying for a residential rental license, then you presume that this is going to be a residence to be occupied by the respondent? And if that's the case, and there's another body of code requirements and procedures that come into play, I'm not buying it. Don't misunderstand. I'm just asking a question. Because inevitably, I think we come down to the rental license requirements, and I just want to make sure there aren't any little peripheral issues that are going to be bothering us.
Other suggestions can create other zoning issues. If the suggestion is that it's not being used as a residential property,
forget this. Okay, so whatever time I order to come into compliance has to take into account that needs to include. It presumes the respondent's going to submit this request for a rental license. Because if he doesn't do that, he's immediately in non-compliance.
That's correct.
And once he makes that rental application, then it's a matter of you folks getting out, doing your inspection, getting back to the property owner.
And some of them may require permits and some may not, depending on the condition of the properties.
And we're not prepared at all today to talk about the condition of all these properties.
Not at this time. We're just here for the finding of non-compliance, that they have not applied for the rental license to start the process.
All right. Well, then I guess I'm getting further too far down the field. So you're at the front end of this process.
Correct.
So the only thing you're hoping to accomplish here today is the respondent being required to submit the rental application license so you, in turn, can then follow your process.
That's correct.
And you're not prepared, as you sit here today, to tell me how much time each of these properties is going to require to come into compliance.
No, sir.
Thank you. then where do we go? Let's assume that I order the respondent to submit these applications, say, by the next cutoff. Let's just assume that. Then where do we go from there? As far as the city of Daytona Beach is concerned, they get their inspectors out there at various and sundry times. They compile their list of violations. They deliver that to the property owner. At what point am I supposed to be in a position to render a compliance statement?
If they don't follow through and make the repairs at a necessary time. If we go out and there's minor repairs that can be done in 15 or 20 days and they achieve those and we'll issue the RTL, that case will drop off the docket. If they do not, and it requires building permits and they don't obtain the permits, then they're going to need additional time to do so.
And when do we determine that?
If we give them the punch list and they refuse to make the repairs or are not making them for whatever reason.
Okay, I'm trying to keep control of this little universe right here.
Okay.
And I'm feeling it drifting further and further away from me here.
I would like to request that the 15 that are occupied, they apply for those RTLs and let us get in and take a look. And then when we come back at the next cutoff, I'll be able to give you a progress report on how long each one of those may or may not take, depending on what we see during the inspection process.
Okay, now we're back to talking about lump sums.
Yes. I have a list of the 15.
You already know which 15 properties she's talking about?
I do not, Your Honor, and I do not.
Are you prepared to rattle them off right now?
Yes, I am.
Let's do it.
Case number 10, 318 Butler. Case number 11. Case number 11, 508 Eastwood. Case number 12, 121 South Grandview. Case number 13, 2711 North Halifax, apartment 796 or condo 796. Case number 15, 229 North Hollywood. Case number 16, 231 North Hollywood. Case number 17, 311, 313 North Hollywood. Case number 21, 216 Morningside. Case number 28, 330 North Peninsula. Case number 30. 330 North Peninsula?
I have those withdrawn.
Okay. Case number 31, 433 North Peninsula. Case number 32, 13 South Peninsula. Case number 33, 21 South Peninsula. Case number 34, 23-25 South Peninsula. Case number 36.
Your Honor, 23 South Peninsula is just a shed.
That is incorrect. Or
I'm pretty sure 23 South Peninsula might just be a shed.
23 South Peninsula is actually a property where they have applied for the application and paid the fee, but have yet called for the inspection.
Okay.
All right, we'll get there. Finish your
case number 36, 514 Phoenix, and case number 37, 615 West Erie.
So these are the properties you would like to prioritize as far as requests for a rental license from the respondent.
That's correct.
And what does prioritize mean time-wise? Now I'm talking globally.
If they can apply before the next cutoff, I'll make myself available to have those inspections done. Next cutoff would be July 5th, as you so stated.
That will allow you to report the status?
It'll allow me to get
it. I understand that all the other properties you're talking about are not occupied?
That's correct. They're vacant. They're advertised for rent, but they're vacant.
I assume they're...
So if they apply...
Not occupied, but they're still in need of repair.
If they can apply for the rental applications by the next cutoff, which is July 5th, then we can have the inspections done 60 days out for your date, August the 2nd.
For what?
To at least give you a report of what we're looking at and what may or may not need to be repaired.
You're talking 15 properties? I'm talking all properties.
I'm talking the 15 properties, the occupied properties.
What about the unoccupied properties? Because I don't want the neighbors just sitting there watching things deteriorate, thinking we're ignoring them.
The properties aren't those the same. Yes, Your Honor.
What's the game plan as far as the unoccupied properties?
If they can apply for those 60 days out, which is by August, then we'll have those inspections done 90 days out, which is your September 6th date. Then that way we're doing them concurrently.
And we're staggering this so that the city of Daytona Beach can accomplish this?
That's correct.
So what you're suggesting is I require them to request their rental license by July 5th, as far as the 15 properties you've identified, and I'm requiring them to do the same with regard to the remaining properties by August 2, 2017.
That's correct.
We're not even talking about coming into compliance as far as whatever construction or remedial work may need to be done, because we're not in a position to say what that is yet.
That is correct.
Okay. All right, Mr. Osborne, let's talk to you for a second.
Yes, Your Honor. And, Your Honor, we the properties that are vacant, we are not contending that they're going to be available for rent, but just because the rental inspection does, just because you don't have the rental inspection checklist doesn't mean these are dilapidated properties. The rental inspection checklist just has some stuff that Florida statutes requires when you are renting to a tenant. But these properties are not dilapidated, and they're not uninhabitable. They're not in violation of any code. And we don't contend that they're even going to be used as a rental. And they're not in violation of any code. And they're contending that they are going to be used as a rental, but I have yet to see the proof.
Well, if you want to run that risk, that's your prerogative.
Yes, Your Honor.
And as I understand the testimony we've already heard, every one of these properties has already, or has, had a business tax receipt in the recent past.
That's correct.
Okay. All right. I am contemplating requiring the owner to submit requests for rental licenses as 15 properties she identified by July 5th.
It's 14.
I'm sorry, 14 rental properties she identified by July 5th, 2017. And I am contemplating, now that I've got my hands on this, I feel a little more comfortable about dealing with a whole lot of them, and I'm contemplating requiring that the same be done for the remaining properties by August 2, 2017. Now, what say you to the reasonableness of that time for the sake of submitting a rent? You can contest whether you're obligated to do it all you want.
Yeah,
you can,
I understand. I understand your question. I understand your question. I don't think that's
unreasonable. Your heart's content. I just want to know, as a practical matter,
yes,
is there some reason why the respondent theoretically could not submit those requests for rental licenses within those time frames?
Yes, just the cost associated. Each one of these licenses you have to pay, what is it,
somewhere around 104?
It depends, isn't it? Depend on if it's a,
yes,
four. Doesn't it depend if it's a single
family
or a four?
Or so it's anywhere from 104, and it varies from there depending on the units.
Anything else?
Is there any other cost?
No. Are there any other obstacles, if you will, to fulfilling these tasks within that time frame? I mean, what you're telling me is that GEAC site investments would have trouble mustering up $1,500?
Well, not the 15. If they were over 100, I know the cost was different if they were if they were like a fourplex, $3,000 to come up in 14 days isn't always easy.
Fine, I've heard that. Anything else?
No, Your Honor. If the city would work out something with the fees, we could apply for the licenses immediately.
May I remind you that these are occupied rents being collected?
Okay.
You want to
tell me how much they provide?
No, but I do have a tenant that's here that would like to speak.
Anybody wants to be heard on this matter, feel free. Well, hold it. Did you have anything further you wanted to add?
No, Your Honor. We do not dispute the reasonableness of the July 5th to apply for those 14. We would just ask, if it's $100, we don't have a problem with that. But we would ask them to, tell us what the exact fee is. If it's over $100, if it's going to be like $3,000 to apply in 14 days, that's not as reasonable as $1,500.
Counselor, I don't mean to be callous, but your client's a businessman. I don't know why your client doesn't know this information already. And furthermore, the fact that your client is blessed to be the owner of multiple properties Doesn't sound like much of an excuse for being unable to just pony up whatever fees required for a rental license inspection. So I hear you, but that's not doing much for me.
Yes, Your Honor.
Anything else you wanted to add?
No, Your Honor.
Are you done?
Yes, sir.
If there was anyone else that wanted to be heard on this matter, come forward. And I'm going to cut you off as soon as I hear you being redundant. So I don't want to stop you from talking, but if you're going to start reiterating the same things I've already heard, I just want to let you know I'll try to move it on. Yes, if you would please state your name, be sworn, and you can assume I'll give you at least a couple minutes to talk.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
My name is Annalise Trader, and I was a tenant of GEA Seaside between January 1st of 2016 and May 15th of 2017. Yes. Annalise Trader, it's AnnaliseTreder.
I need you to raise your right hand, please. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is true, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do. Your Honor, I was a tenant of GEA Seaside between January 1st of 2016 and May 15th of 2017. I moved here from Wisconsin with my husband and my two daughters. And I had rented two properties from Mr. Aberman, which was 507 Phoenix Avenue and 311 North Hollywood Avenue. I had to move out of 311 North Hollywood Avenue because the ceiling in my bedroom had caved in and I had flooding in my bedroom every time it rained. Mr. Aberman, I spoke with him on the 6th of December, and he said that he would have it fixed. This was after submitting multiple work orders to him in regards to the issue. He said he would have it fixed. He'd start on it the next day. A month later, we had decided that after a couple more rains in December that we could no longer live there, and we were going to move out in May, and that night it downpoured in my bedroom again. I was actually woken at about 4 in the morning with rain splattering onto me. And at that time, I contacted Mr. Aberman again and asked him to move to one of his other properties, as it was just after the holidays. We didn't actually have funds to move, and his company was willing to transfer our security deposit to another property. At that time, we moved into 507 Phoenix Avenue. We did not have running water the first week we were there. We did not have a refrigerator the first month and a half we were there. I had to borrow money from my family in order to move to another property, which was not his. And I wanted to say to this court that the city ordinance for rental licensing is something Daytona Beach residents should be able to rely on. I believe that there's a lack of enforcement, and that lack of enforcement is doing a disservice to the residents who must pay first last month's rent, and in my case, I had to pay a double security deposit, only to suffer with improper housing and sometimes dangerous housing, with no recourse for the landlords who, when a tenant is forced out because of those conditions, are able to re-rent the property without complying with the law and obtaining proper licensing. As I was sitting in court here today, I looked on Mr. Aberman's website. 507 Phoenix Avenue is on that website right now for available rental. And I would ask that any rental that is not in compliance with the law be removed from being advertised anywhere so that he cannot re-rent. When I moved out of 311 Hollywood Avenue, there was a family in that unit within 2 weeks of me moving out of there. The roof was not fixed on that unit for almost a month after that. And that family had moved out also, only to move another family in. It is not okay for somebody who is supposed to be a proper business person operating a proper business to be able to constantly get away with not coming into compliance with the law and to be able to collect large amounts of rent and, you know, being able to state something like they can't afford to pay for a rental license and an inspection to provide proper housing for people in the city of Daytona Beach. I chose this city because it seemed like a nice place to live, and I was very, very disappointed to get myself into these situations. I really think that properties with liens on them should be not be able to be rented and should not be forgiven the liens without being brought into compliance in a reasonable time, and that being months and not years. After researching farther on 507 Phoenix, I learned that these violations go back years, not just from the time that I was there. I never should have been allowed to rent that unit. I never should have been put into that position, and I believe that these laws are in place in order to protect the residents of Daytona Beach from being put into these situations unknowingly. There were a lot of things wrong with that unit besides the refrigeration. We had gaps under the floors. We had rodents coming in through the kitchen because of holes in the wall to the garage. It's a very unfortunate situation. And I believe that properties that do have liens on them, that do not come into compliance, should be foreclosed upon so that proper landlords may buy, fix, and rent properties as the law dictates for the protection of Daytona Beach residents.
Very good. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Hi, Iris Oswald. I do. I also am residing at 311 North Hollywood Avenue. I don't know why they don't have money, because I paid them over $13,000 for the entire year for my rent. An inspector was at my home yesterday. I welcomed them in. I've issued complaints to the office. No one takes care of them. This is what they do to people. I think this is just their scam. I have no air conditioning. I have a list of things that do not work. Those are my complaints.
How you doing, y'all?
Sure.
My name is Keyshawn Boyd. I started renting from Ms. Averman from...
Sorry.
Yes, ma'am.
Can you raise your hand, please?
Please
tell me, swear or affirm that the testimony you've provided is
the
truth,
the
whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, ma'am. Again, my name is Keyshawn Boyd. I started renting from Mr. Averman May 3rd of 2006 till May 31st of 2017. And it's just like Mr. Shredder here, I have the same problems. Same exact problems, to be exact. I actually, when we went to get down payments to put put on lights and water, I went to the city. The house is actually in South Daytona. This property is in South Daytona. I went to the city. I paid over $400 in deposits. Wondering why I did for deposit before a house that was supposed to be considered residential, because it was still commercial. I informed Mr. Averman on the day that we moved in that it was still considered commercial. He said he would take care of it. He never did. I also had rodents. I also had an AC that was not working, leaks in my roof. We had problems as we were going with Mr. John Cecil with code enforcement in South Daytona. He let us know kind of work with him. I never let him on a property, because he states in his contract that if they're on a property, we're forced, we can be evicted and forced to pay rent for the entire time while being in on property. He's just a scam, sir. I wish I would have known more about it when we got into it. We kind of were pressured into the situation. I have 5 children, just had one March. Rodents running around the house. We had a bathroom that has mold in it because it was never the proper tile or tiling put in there. We had to put a plastic tarp that you put on top of our roof in the bathroom so we could take showers. I have an email from the prior a former lawyer. Once he was held in compliance last time, saying that they need to move us into different residence. He sent an email saying, giving us a list of properties. All the lease, it was 6 properties. All 6 that you mentioned, lease of those, are on this email, which is September 2016. And this is the one he showed here. That one, that was in one of them. One of the brothers was one of them that was given to us. We didn't want to deal with them anymore. We just moved out, and you know, we just kind of want to break ties. We've paid $13.50 every month, every day. Never just had to comply with them, do the best thing. So we won't have a bad get on our record. We don't want an eviction on our record. And we also moved prior to moving in. We paid $13.50 for deposit, first, last, and security. My sister-in-law also moved in with her child. My sister-in-law was required to pay another $13.50 in full. So we're right now waiting on our deposit, and it hasn't been 30 days yet. But you know, I just want to let you know, I know this is Daytona, and you don't really have nothing to do with something. So I want to know that he might have properties everywhere. I'm sure he has properties everywhere, and it needs to be addressed because it's not right. You know, I just read Ms. Freda's column today. You know, it's very sad. It's the same thing. We're kind of afraid to like come forth, but I'm just enough is enough, sir.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right.
Good morning. Kristen Spann.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is true, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do. My name is Kristen Spann, and I own a home located at 1455 North Grandview Avenue, which adjoins Jack Aberman's property at 358 Nautilus. If you recall, I have testified before you several times with regard to Mr. Aberman, and I thank you for allowing me to review my experiences with him. In November 2014, Mr. Aberman was cited for multiple code violations on 358 Nautilus, including serious roof issues. I witnessed repair work done on the roof and later learned no licensed contractor had been hired and no permit had been pulled. During Hurricane Matthew, the roof of 358 Nautilus blew off, landing in my backyard, damaging my fences, trees, and my shed. As I have previously testified, the tenants living in that residence at the time evacuated after asking my intentions. I encouraged them to leave as I was aware of problems with the roof. Fortunately, they evacuated, which may have saved their lives or serious injury. In November, after waiting 5 weeks, I finally cut up and removed the debris from Mr. Aberman's roof from my property. I contacted Daytona Beach Code Enforcement and filed a formal complaint against Mr. Aberman and his company. I've contacted code enforcement multiple times since then to report work being conducted on the property, again with no permit pulled or licensed contractors employed to do the work. While at work on December 26th, I was notified by a representative with the State Inspector General's office that a complaint had been filed against me by Mr. Aberman alleging misuse of my state power. The complaint was investigated and was completely and totally dismissed. Then in March, Mr. Aberman sued me for $20,000 for alleged loss of revenue to his business. The court dismissed the lawsuit when Mr. Aberman was unable to produce any of the documents, leases, correspondence, or other items as requested by my attorney. This isn't too surprising, considering Mr. Aberman is today facing 29 counts of failure to obtain rental licenses. Jack Aberman has attempted to bully and frighten me, likely to prevent me from testifying at public meetings such as this and city commission meetings. As I have stated previously, if Mr. Aberman is uncomfortable with the truth being told, he need only bring his properties into compliance with city zoning requirements. Jack Aberman's to adhere to and comply with multiple code violations while renting properties without licenses is negatively impacting the properties that surround them and obviously endangering the people who live in them, sir. It is this court and the city of Daytona Beach that is endowed with the responsibility of protecting the property rights of their residents and enforcing code violations. Mr. Aberman appears to have code enforcement liens going back years, totaling hundreds of thousands of dollars, and continues to operate with impunity. In my opinion, Mr. Aberman has shown nothing but contempt for the city of Daytona Beach and even the processes of this courtroom. Therefore, as a property owner and a concerned resident, I'm asking that you begin foreclosure processes on these 29 properties, sir, or at least do what is within your power to protect the people living in the properties that he rents. Thank you very much. Hi, Amy Pyle. I live at 136 South Grandview. Yes, ma'am. I live across the street from one of Mr. Aberman's properties, and I am personally acquainted with three tenants that either have moved or chose not to appear today. I'm not going to talk about hearsay, but I am familiar with his means. So I want to just stick to the brass tacks. Failure to obtain a rental property license may be a misnomer. It's more like a refusal to apply. I believe he actually sued the city when these rental licenses were first proposed, and the case was dropped, but it's obvious that he is still trying to get out of having these licenses because he doesn't want inspections on his properties. That's evident by the testimony you've heard from his tenants and the people that I have known that have lived in mold, filth, termites, bugs, rats, and they are told that if they speak to code enforcement, he is going to evict them. It is a scam, and I believe if I were Mr. Aberman, I would say, I'll get these people in as fast as I can, charge them as much as I can, and then if it's so crummy in there that they leave, all the better, because then I can start it over again. He owes thousands to the people that he has that have left these properties voluntarily. I know of one woman, I don't know if you've seen my interview with her. I did a video interview, and her complaint to me was, why did the city not protect me from this man? And I think that's some of the feelings that are shared by these people. He received $90,000 in facade grants in the from the Beachside CRA, which is our tax dollars that could have been used in our neighborhoods and to improve other properties. He used them on his properties, which now, as testified by Pat Rice, he actually took pictures of every single one of the properties that received a grant, and he says most of them are back into their bad-looking condition. That's just on the outside. He has a history of work without permits, so I would question if he's complaining about the cost to apply for the licenses now, the cost to do the repairs. He is going to do his best to have them done without permits and at the cheapest possible rate and sneak through on that also. You'll be dealing with this for months and months and months, and code case after code case, and our staff time will be spent that will never recoup that cost. The coercion of his tenants via that clause in the lease that says, you know, it's not a case to come before you. I mean, I suppose that would be a civil case, or people have to be smart enough not to sign a lease like that. But that is taking advantage of elderly, disabled, there's young people, anyone who might be naive about what a lease is, maybe a first-time leaseholder family that isn't aware that you can't have a clause like that in a lease. So I'm not in charge here, obviously, but I would suggest that you look at this as a failure, as a refusal to obtain the rental property license, and start fines right now. I mean, I know this isn't a fine-imposing case, or maybe on the July 5th, start imposing fines. He should not be allowed to advertise for rental, and there are giant permanent signs in front of many of these properties that this gentleman is saying are vacant homes as opposed to rental properties. There's big, giant red, white, and blue signs all down Peninsula. You can see them if you drive down, or is it Halifax? I guess it's Peninsula, and they're in the front of the yard. They're permanent. They're there all the time, whether there's a tenant or not. It says whatever, it doesn't say GEA, I think it says Daytona property, with his big phone number on there. And really, that's just an advertisement for his business on that property, because for whatever reason, he can't rent it or he doesn't rent it. It's just a sign out there, so there's probably 20 properties down Peninsula that have advertising for his company in the front yard under the guise of being a rental property. Thank you for listening. Appreciate it.
All right. Let's get our attorneys back up here. Now, one thing I would like to caution the respondent with regard to, you have already alluded once to the fact that you're dealing with multiple properties here. These cases are all going to be dealt with on an individual basis. The point to that is I'm not going to be receptive to the argument that, well, Mr. Special Magistrate, we've got 29 of these, so we need to multiply whatever one of them needs by 29. That's not going to happen. I just want to alert you to that right now.
I understand.
Okay, because my point is, anything and everything this respondent can be doing right now to lighten its load, it should seriously take into consideration. I'm not prejudging anything. I'm just saying, with 29 cases here and inspections that haven't even taken place and testimonials from various and sundry people talking about the conditions of this property, I suspect there will be a few conditions that will have to be remedied or corrected. And I'm just urging the respondent that if he wants to, might be prudent for him to get on these earlier rather than later. Because what's going to happen? It's not going to happen today, I'm finding out. I'm going to be setting a compliance date. And when we talk about the time required for each of these to come into compliance, it's going to be a case-by-case basis.
Understood, Your Honor.
All right. Now, I guess we will talk about these cases globally. Madam Secretary, how do you want me to refer to them? Just by the number on the agenda? Will that do?
You're doing two separate orders?
I'm going to do two separate orders for the occupied and the non-occupied.
Well, I mean, each individual order, but...
Yes.
Okay.
All right, let me just read them off for the record.
Okay.
Case number 10, 318 Butler Boulevard. Case number 11, 508 Eastwood Lane. Case number 12, 121 South Grandview Avenue. Case number 13, 2711 North Halifax Unit 796. Case number 15, 229 North Hollywood Avenue. Case number 16, 231 North Hollywood Avenue. Case number 17, 311 and 313 North Hollywood Avenue. Case number 21, 216 Morningside Avenue. Case 31, 433 North Peninsula Drive. Case 32, 13 South Peninsula Drive. Case 33, 21 South Peninsula Drive. Case 34, 23 and 25 South Peninsula. Case number 36, 514 Phoenix Avenue. Case number 37, 615 Wisteria Road. With regard to each of those cases, I am requiring the respondent to file his request for rental license before or before the next cutoff. I'm sorry. I thought I already found it.
Just the one property.
As far as all those cases... Thank you. As far as all those cases are concerned, I find them to be in non-compliance. And as far as those cases that I identified, I require the respondent to file his request for rental license on or before our next cutoff, which is July 5, 2017. Failing that, the respondent will be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. I am also continuing any disposition of those cases to our I'm continuing any determination of a compliance date to our July 11, 2017 meeting. The second part of the order goes to case 9, 316 Butler Boulevard, 14, 509 and 511 Harvey Avenue, 18, 317 North Hollywood Avenue, 22, 232 North Peninsula Drive, 23, 236 North Peninsula Drive, 24308 North Peninsula Drive, 26320 North Peninsula Drive, 29420 North Peninsula Drive, 35507 Phoenix Avenue. With regard to those cases, I find them all to be in non-compliance. I order the respondent to submit his request for rental license before, on or before August 2 of 2017, and we will schedule a determination of a compliance date on those cases for our August 8, 2017 meeting. Failing the respondent to submit the request for rental licenses as ordered will return, will culminate in the respondent being returned here for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day for each property for which the request for rental license has not been timely submitted. All right. Is there anything else to be brought before me at this point in time?
Yes, sir. City is also requesting on the 9 vacant properties, the ones that you spoke, that you mentioned, number 9, 14, 18, 22, 23, 24, 26, 29, and 35, that those properties remain vacant until the rental license process is complete and the license is obtained. It would be counterproductive for those to be continued renting while we're dealing with the ones that are occupied, for those to become occupied.
What evidence do I have before me right now as to what the noncompliance is? Other than the fact that there are residential rental licenses for which no rental license application has been filed. I hear what you say.
Yes, that's the extent of the testimony. Which again, would mean that they should not be rented because they don't have a residential rental license. That's a requirement of the code, and they right now they are being altered and made available for rent.
Counselor, you want to be heard on that point? His argument is he's in noncompliance with the rental license requirement. Consequently, he shouldn't be allowed to rent, which now makes kind of common sense, I suppose. Let's say you do that.
So is he? Would he contest if we do decide to rent one of those properties? As long as we apply for the license, would that be satisfactory?
Well,
or would there have to be an approval? Would there have to inspection?
Inspection. If you have your inspection and your property's fine, then the answer to that is no.
We have no problem.
For me to do that would be preempting the city inspection, the city inspectors, from their opportunity to go in there and ascertain what needs to be done.
Your Honor, we will not rent a property without the rental license on those vacant ones.
With regard to the 9 properties identified by council, those I understand to be the unoccupied properties, they are not to be rented. Hang on a second. Did you want to say something?
It appears you're going there, which the concern is also that they not be advertised for rent, which is also the language of the ordinance, that they not be rented or advertised for rent, which is, even as we speak, we looked up and saw that some of the ones we discussed are being advertised.
Unoccupied properties, they are not to be rented, utilized, occupied, or advertised for rent until such time as they are in compliance.
Your Honor, that means for 3 months that he cannot advertise a property that's vacant without a rental without the rental inspection license?
Right. Yeah. Okay. Anything else to be addressed?
No, sir.
Now, one last remark.
The city has nothing else regarding us today.
Okay. You addressed everything with regard to all of these properties that have been brought before me today? Is there anything left to talk about?
I think something that the board secretary was pointing out, that one of the properties we had included additional violations, but those are violations that we'll discover through the rental inspection, so we're not going to address those. The finding has been made, and so we believe everything is sufficient for us to proceed as you've ordered.
Okay, well, I'm only both of you with an idle thought here. I hope the respondent does the stand-up thing, brings these properties into compliance, and none of us will have anything to deal with going forward.
Yes, Ron.
I hope that if he doesn't, that the city finds the wherewithal to actually proceed and start foreclosing on these things. Because until that happens, I question how much teeth I really have as I'm sitting here right now. So I would just posit that with the city as just a suggestion going forward.
It is a process that's it's been activated with properties, and in fact was addressed at the last commission meeting, and we have started foreclosing on leads.
I don't need to speak out of turn, but it's been
Yes, sir.
All right. Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you, Counselor. Good luck to you and your client. And if there's nothing else to be brought before the special magistrate, we have any miscellaneous business to discuss?
No, sir.
Very good.